Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The group seeking to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy has sued over the rejection of its recall application. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that Recall Dunleavy filed suit in Anchorage Superior Court yesterday against the Division of Elections and its director, Gail Fanumiai. Fanumiai relied on the advice of Attorney General Kevin Clarkson, who rejected each of four grounds for recall listed on the application. Recall Dunleavy lawyer Scott Kendall says Clarkson's position was expected.
He was one of the governor's chief advisors when he took the unacceptable and radical actions that caused the recall to occur.
Kendall says Clarkson should have provided the Division of Elections with independent counsel.
He took it on himself to essentially grade his own homework, and none of us should be surprised that he gave himself a passing grade.
The lawsuit says Fanumiai, quote, unlawfully denied Recall Dunleavy and the citizens of Alaska the opportunity to exercise their constitutional and statutory right to recall public officials by refusing to certify the recall application, unquote. The Division of Elections verified more than 46,000 signatures on the recall application. Preliminary results show Denali Borough voters approving a new local tax and hiking an existing one. Voters who cast ballots in a municipal election yesterday passed a new 5% tax on the retail sale of alcohol and marijuana and okayed increasing an overnight accommodation tax from the current 7% to 7.5%. Proceeds from both taxes go to support local nonprofit organizations, emergency medical service, volunteer firefighters, municipal assistance, and major school maintenance. According to the Denali Borough Clerk, the preliminary election results only reflect votes cast at polling places and not mailed in early and question ballots, which will be tallied by a canvassing committee November 13th. Results will be certified by the Denali Borough Assembly at a meeting that night. Two people are in custody related to burglaries along Chena Hot Springs Road. An Alaska State Trooper dispatch says 23-year-old Mustafa Saleh and 30-year-old Tarly Aravalo were stopped driving from a burglarized home at mile 14, Chena Hot Springs Road, before 7 a.m. yesterday. Troopers say they found stolen items in the pair's vehicle, and investigation revealed that multiple homes had been burglarized. Saleh and Aravalo were charged with burglary, theft, and trespassing. Troopers say the investigation continues and ask anyone with information to contact them. Meeting last night, the Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board approved additional analysis of changing school start times. The next phase of the study is estimated to cost the district about $35,000. Teens perform better in school if they get more sleep, and board member Tim Doran says he's ready to hear from parents about adjusting morning start times.
I will be looking for 70 to 80% range for parent response, which I know is very high, but I know is very achievable.
The school board voted unanimously to extend the study, which will get reviewed again in the spring with possible schedule changes as early as next fall. The board also addressed several other issues last night, including dissolution of a charter school. KUAC's Robin reports.
The Star of the North Charter School has decided to disband, with the alternative learning systems that were taught there wrapped back into district programs. Superintendent Karen Gaborik says the school has two campuses, one in North Pole with about 100 students, and one at the Career Education Center in the Food Bank building in Fairbanks.
Both of those services are different, but they're both really vital to the community. And so I'm really committed to keeping those programs available to students and families.
On October 17th, the Star of the North Academic Policy Committee voted not to renew its contract with the district after this school year. Without the charter, a certain level of enrollment will not be required, and the two programs can still serve two different constituencies. The board also heard a lot of comment about topics not on the agenda. A history assignment for North Pole High School sparked outrage among community members who came to ask the board to review it and remove it. The assignment was part of teaching the causes of the Civil War and asked students to role play through the economics of running a plantation in the pre-war South. David Bantz says it effectively set up students to empathize with slaveholders.
That is, at best, miseducation, and at worst, white supremacy in action.
Esther Cunningham said the assignment bullies African-American students who could only reflect on their ancestors' pain.
Insensitive to the entire African-American community, and I would appreciate administration reviewing the assignment and assure that they are given impartial truth about the past.
Superintendent Karen Gaborik says the district administration received calls and emails about the history assignment and is working with a teacher and principal. The other issue was a proposed addition to elective courses 11th and 12th graders could take toward their language arts requirements. Nikki Eisman was a school librarian with the district.
I would like to applaud the curriculum committee for adding a new elective option, a new literature option, the LGBTQ+. I want to say that loud and clear. It's an elective. I know you all know this, but for the listening audience and the world out there, nobody is forcing any child to make this choice.
A conservative blogger in Anchorage alarmed his followers by writing that the Fairbanks North Scarborough School District was going to expose students to explicit sexual material. However, the school district curriculum committee debunked the rumor. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Restructuring and next year's budget are primary items before University of Alaska regents during meetings in Fairbanks tomorrow and Friday. A UA release says regents will gather for a facilitated workshop tomorrow to find, quote, common ground on university structural issues, including leadership roles and responsibilities, unquote. UA President Jim Johnson, system chancellors, governance leaders, and invited experts will join regents for the all-day session. The workshop is a response to concerns voiced by the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities about a plan to move toward a single accreditation model. The commission questioned the top-down approach of the planning process. The criticism prompted regents to drop the single accreditation plan, pledge to better define leadership roles, and to broaden input, actions applauded by the commission in a follow-up correspondence last week. On Friday, regents will review and approve a proposed $832 million spending plan, which includes $277 million in state funding for next year. The figure reflects a $25 million state funding reduction agreed to under a three-year budget compact with Governor Mike Dunleavy. The legislature maintains the power of appropriation, and it's unclear if it will adhere to the compact. Some Bethel residents received smaller permanent fund dividend checks last month. The city of Bethel has started to garnish PFD checks to cover unpaid fines for minor city offenses. KYUK's Greg Kim reports.
When Bethel City Councilmember Mark Springer opened his PFD check last month, he didn't like what he saw.
Before we got the dividends, I'm like, yes, $1,600 in the bank, and it was $1,490, and I'm like, what the heck? And I looked, and it said lien from the city of Bethel.
Springer had a loose dog fine from 2013 that he had forgotten to pay. Back in 2016, the council instructed the city attorney to collect unpaid fines for minor offenses by garnishing them from PFD checks.
I will own it because I guess I was on the council when we told her to go ahead and do it.
This may be the first year that the city has been able to integrate with the court system and the permanent fund division. City Clerk Lori Strickler says at least this is the first year she has heard complaints from city residents about city liens on PFDs. Residents with fines for minor offenses are supposed to be notified before it's garnished from their check. But if the offense and notification occurred years ago, residents may have been surprised by the missing amount in their check. This is not just a convenient way to retire your debt to the city. There are extra fees if you wait for the amount to be garnished from your PFD. Springer's dog fine was originally just $50.
Cost me $110 between the police training surcharge and the court fee and the collection fee.
Springer is not the only one who had forgotten fines. Assistant Finance Director Ken Fay reported the city of Bethel has received about $20,000 from PFD garnishments for city fines, money that will go into the city's general fund. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
And I'm Dan Bross.